Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Vietnam Ambush tells the story of a young man, Daniel Seidenberg Jr., answering the call of America to fight a war against the communist Vietnamese as a replacement with the 199th Light Infantry Brigade in 1968-69. It tells of his days in training, combat, recovery from injuries, and his return home amidst the anti-war fervor that had engulfed the USA at the time. At age 19, Daniel received a draft notice. Thus began his journey through Army life, infantry combat, and nearly fatal wounds that left him totally disabled. He was awarded the Purple Heart, Combat Infantry Badge, the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry, and two campaign stars. Vietnam Ambush, Soldier in the Bush, called a memoir that will give the reader an invaluable insight into one's participation in a war that today most Americans prefer to forget. Author David Seidenberg Jr., our guest on This Week in America. Daniel, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it is our pleasure, and this is such an important topic and an important book that you've done that's receiving excellent reviews. Let's go back to 1968 and what life was like for you before you got the draft notice. It's 1968. What was it like before the war for you?
Well, before the war, I graduated from high school in 1966, and I had become an avid surfer when I was in junior high. So I spent a lot of time working, surfing, and I was attending night school at Santa Barbara City College.
So it's interesting as you go back and you look at that period. Well, yeah, what was life like? It sounds like you enjoyed life pretty much at that time.
Yeah, like surfing was just my desire. It was just such a wonderful experience in the ocean.
Let's talk about as the war was unfolding and you're in that age that people are looking at, what was your stance on the war at that time?
I have to admit it was very far from my thoughts since I was in school. I thought I was pretty safe from it. But what happened was there was that winter of 68, there were so many great swells that I was put on academic probation. So then I got a letter from, you know, greetings from Uncle Sam and from the local draft board.
What was it like? And, what were your feelings when you got that?
Seriously about the war.
Well, yes, and what were your thoughts? Because you're about to put your life on the line. Life is going to change dramatically. What were your thoughts when you get the letter and your thoughts on the war then at that point, because you start paying attention to what's happening because it's going to be your life?
Well, that's true. My first thought, to be totally honest, was to get the heck out of the country, because I come from a military family. My dad was in the 8th Army Air Corps in Europe all World War II, and he came back a basket case. My first thought was, I don't want to die, you know.
Yes.
But what happened was I went all the way up to Seattle thinking of going into Canada, and I changed my mind. So I went to see an Army recruiter there in Seattle.
The book we're talking...
I changed my mind. I just felt like I didn't want to, you know, to run away. I basically just didn't feel like that was what I could actually live with.
The book we're talking about is Vietnam Ambush, Soldier in the Bush by Daniel Seidenberg Jr., our guest on the program. You'll find the book at stratton-press.com, the usual places. We'll have all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about your duty in the war. What were your assignments, and were you ever involved in combat?
Well, the recruiter offered me a 2-year regular Army enlistment and told me that I would never see combat because the war was practically over at that point. I didn't believe him, but I wanted to, so I went ahead and signed in for 2 years. So I got basic training in the Army and then on to advanced training in infantry, I noticed that everyone in my basic also got infantry, except for one guy who had a degree from a PhD in engineering or something, and he got artillery. He was the only guy who did not get infantry. So, I was trained infantry. I had a 30-day leave after that, celebrated my 21st birthday, and was flown to my combat unit, 199th Infantry, Light Infantry, on December 2nd, 1968.
Talk about...
I saw combat continually from that point until I was injured.
You write about that.
About 90 days later.
You write about that. It's all in Daniel's book, Vietnam Ambush. We'll talk about the relationship, the bond that you form with your fellow soldiers and peers that you were with in Vietnam. What is that like, the relationship you have with the others who were right next to you?
When I was in my company, we operated in 4- and 5-man ambush teams. So I didn't really get close to very many because, like, we were out there, like I say, in 4- or 5-man teams usually. So there was two people I remember vividly. There was Tex in the book and Tony in the book. Tony was my squad leader. Other than that, there weren't very close relationships, because you learn very quickly not to develop close relationships because of the pain when they get killed or injured. So you naturally kind of put up a barrier to getting close to others. So Tex and I became very close, and Tony and I became very close, because Tony was from Seattle, and we had a lot of mutual interests.
When you came back to...
And he was my squad leader.
Oh, okay.
He had to survive.
Well, yes. It's good to be close to somebody like that. And all of this unfolds in Daniel's book, Vietnam Ambush. When you came back to the United States, how long did it take for you to get back to normal life? And how difficult was that after what you've been through, after what you had seen? How difficult was it to get back to normal life here in the States?
I never got back to normal life because of the severity of my injuries. I had a penetrating temple wound that was really devastating. I lost the sight in my right ear, my right eye, and the hearing in my right ear. I have constant louds ringing in my ears. At first, I just tried to bury the whole experience and not think about it at all. After about 10 years of really bad nightmares and severe head pain that could last for weeks, I went to a thing that was called Vietnam Rap Groups. It was only for combat vets here at the local memorial building. I met with them twice a week for 2 years. And after that, that allowed us to talk about our experiences without being harshly judged. And after talking about it for 2 years, the nightmares all went away. So that helped a lot. Then I got involved in a class on the Vietnam War at University of California here in Santa Barbara. So I helped TA that class for about 11 years, talking to non-veterans, students,
yes,
about the war. They were hungry to learn about it. That was the largest class in the UC system at that time. He every year drew 900 students. Walter went on to become a representative, in Congress, Walter Capps. Then I helped do a class at New York University at Stony Brook. An old friend of mine was a professor there and invited me to help him design his class on the war there, which was very popular too. And I realized that actually talking about it and not burying it helped me to, as you say, get back to normal.
Daniel,
a lot of veterans would, you hear of stories that, they never talk about it. But I've noticed those are the ones that suffer the most.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you had the outlet to
post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, to talk about it. It's interesting because
you
do hear that. It's interesting, and you had that outlet to talk about it. So you were not only able to enlighten some people who had questions about the Vietnam War and what happened, but help yourself at the same time in talking about what you had gone through. Vietnam Ambush, Soldier in the Bush is Daniel's book, Daniel Seidenberg Jr., book at stratton-press.com, all of the usual places. As the war progressed and you're involved in it, did your attitude change, do you think?
Drastically. Everything I knew about the war was either from my dad or movies.
Yes, yes.
And once I got into it, was nothing like either one. I can give you an example. Tony was teaching me how to survive, in the field. The very first thing he said to me was, your only mission is to survive. You have to realize that this was after Walter Cronkite had called the war a stalemate It was in 1968, and I remember seeing that on television before I went into the Army, there was no victory there. So when I got there, it was like no one wanted to be the last person killed in a lost cause.
Yes.
It was just mind-bending. That, after the movies, like how brave and how, you just gun down your enemy and all this. And then to get there and realize that, all you really need to do is survive it.
Daniel Seidenberg, our guest on the program, the book is Vietnam Ambush, Soldier in the Bush. Time is going by so quickly on the program. You talked about basically teaching students, being in the classroom with them when you got back. Today's students, what would you hope that they know and they learn about the Vietnam era?
From a military standpoint, it was a case which has brought many commanders to grief, which is choosing the wrong battlefield. And Vietnam is a prime example of choosing the wrong battlefield. If you want, I can explain that further.
Yes, yes, please do. It's very important. So yes, please do.
Well, for one thing, the first thing you need to know about war is that it's based on deception. And we based it on firepower and attrition and body counts, which, is a loser. Number two, I would say that when I got there, for example, our infantry squads were lucky to have four or five soldiers when you're supposed to have 10. We were severely undermanned. And we're fighting an enemy with nearly unlimited human resources. And they could supply from neutral countries, so-called neutral countries, Laos and Cambodia, they could keep supplying their troops. We had lots of firepower. But it was never going to be enough firepower to subdue the Vietnamese. Another example of choosing the wrong battlefield is if you look at the long history of Vietnam defending against foreign invaders, you would realize that they're not going to give up. For example, they fought the Chinese off for over 100 years before finally chasing them out of Vietnam. So it was a matter of, how long do you want to stay there and die there? Because they're not going to give up. And of course, you know, the nuclear option was never an option. You know, you have the Chinese border right there on North Vietnam.
Yes.
And just like in Korea, if things got really bad, like we invaded the North, well, that's going to bring in the Chinese. Another example of unlimited human resources. So, you know, so, and I've read a lot about it, you know, since getting back. And it just jumps out at me that it's totally the wrong battlefield.
The book is so insightful, Vietnam Ambush, Soldier in the Bush by Daniel Seidenberg, our guest on the program. A couple minutes left. I'll give you some information where the book's available. And spell Daniel's name if you're going to Google that to get information on the book. Daniel, I got a couple minutes left. Briefly, what was the reaction like to you when you returned from Vietnam? So many horror stories and shameful stories of soldiers coming back and their reception. What was it like for you when you returned?
I can give you a couple of examples. Right up front, here in the United States, if you mentioned Vietnam at that point, it would clear the room. No one wanted to hear about it.
Yes.
Another, so you learn just to bury it, don't mention it, and you try to hide from it. But I noted, I was going to University of Washington on vocational rehab with the Veterans Administration, and I also was having surgeries to try to save the sight in my right eye due to a retinal detachment, you know, that occurs when you get hit really hard in the head. And so I was going to classes, and I was wearing a patch over that eye because the light bothered me so much. One student on the way to class said, "Oh, hey, what happened to your eye?" I said, "Well, I was injured in Vietnam." He replied, "You deserved it."
Oh, that's... When I said shameful, that definitely falls in that category. I don't understand that. I was around during that time frame and just to this day don't understand that. So you're trying to deal with your own thoughts, the possible demons that you have, and then it's reinforced primarily by people like that. How do you deal with something like that? How did you deal with it?
I basically just ignored it.
Yes.
People don't talk about survivor's euphoria, which I had. But there was one other good example. Right after I got back, I was on my way to class on the surface streets there in the U District, and a car backfired. Before I knew it, I hit the ground and rolled under a parked car. The other students walking by were just laughing like crazy.
Yeah, that's...
But, you know, I survived stuff like that because of survivor's euphoria. You know, I assume a lot of other survivors have that. Maybe they don't want to talk about it, but,
it's
like when you're in combat, the guy next to you gets it. The first thing to your mind, I mean, I am sorry to say this, but the first thing through my mind was, God, I'm glad that wasn't me.
It's only natural.
In fact, when we were ambushed on the boat, the man standing right next to me was blown in half at the waist.
I just don't know how you...
It was
how
a rocket-propelled grenade.
How you...
Shaped charge burned right through the side of that.
And that's not something you unforget, unremember, you unsee. That's there with you. I got about a minute or so left here. You talked about when you came back, it was an outlet for you to talk about Vietnam with the students who wanted information. What's this been like writing this book? What impact has this book had on your perception, your thoughts, your memories, your attempted recovery from what you went through in Vietnam?
Well, fortunately, I had a friend in Washington, D.C. who went to archives and pulled all the after-action reports and stuff that were declassified. So that helped me spark my memory for day-to-day action.
Oh, yes.
It took me over a year to write the book, because I could only write early in the morning because of the TBI. My mind is clearest in the morning, and it was very therapeutic. And I wanted to get it out there for other young people, you know, maybe thinking of joining or a future with, you know, the infantry. Or, you know, that here's one soldier's experience. You know, trying to be helpful, you know.
Yes. Well, the book is, it's so well done. It's Daniel Seidenberg Jr.'s book, Vietnam Ambush, Soldier in the Bush. If you're Googling Seidenberg, that's S-E-I-D-E-N-B-E-R-G, Daniel Seidenberg Jr., book available at stratton-press.com, at Amazon, all the usual places as well, and we'll have information on our website so you can link on directly to the book information site and order the book there as well. Daniel, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing these memories once again. Very insightful. I've enjoyed the opportunity to talk with you. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick. It's been a very nice discussion. I really like it. The book is short, so it's not like they're going to have to take weeks to read it or anything.
Well, it's very insightful and will let us know, of those of us of a certain age, reflect back on that time, put it in a little different perspective from someone who was there. For younger people, it's a valuable history tool as well. The book is Vietnam Ambush, Soldier in the Bush, Daniel Seidenberg Jr., the author and our guest. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.